Welcome to installment 147 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains five commandments. Prohibition 169, the prohibition on someone from the tribe of Levi from taking a portion of land in the land of Israel. And prohibition 170, that they may not take a portion of the spoils of war. Positive commandment 183 regards the apportioning of the Levitical cities. And prohibition number 228 is the prohibition not to sell the outskirts of the land of these cities. And positive commandment number 20 is the commandment of building the Beis HaMikdash, the temple in Jerusalem. Prohibitions 169 and 170 both relate to prohibitions regarding the Levites. Prohibition 169 is that the Levites are not allowed to have a portion in the land of Israel. This, the Rambam says, derives from the verse in Deuteronomy, chapter 18, verse 1, that Lo yelakeinim alevim kol shevet Levi chelek benachala, that the entire tribe of the Levites shall not have a chelek, shall not have a portion, or a nachala, or an inheritance. And as the Rambam goes on to explain in Commandment 170, that, quoting the Sifri, that nachala refers to a portion of in the land, which is Commandment 169. Prohibition 170 is chelek, a portion, meaning the spoils of war, that after the Jewish nation wins a war, the spoils are split up among all the Jewish people, excluding the tribe of Levi. The Rambam then goes into a lengthy explanation about how he came up with the number of two commandments. Why is it two and not one? And why is it two and not four? First, the Rambam explained that if it both comes from one verse, both parts, both words, we would think that according to the principle that details of a general commandment are not counted as separate mitzvahs, we should count it as only one commandment. The Rambam explains that it's two because of the second verse from this chapter, that the idea of land is singled out in verse 2, V'nachla lo yiyalei, bekerav echav, that among his brothers he must not have an inheritance. And therefore we see the idea of inheriting land is singled out. This proves, that Rambam says, that it is two separate commandments, one prohibiting a portion of the spoils and one prohibiting a portion of the land. There is another problematic issue here. As Rambam points out, that the book of Numbers, chapter 18, verse 20, also contains these two similar prohibitions regarding the Kohanim. As God spoke to Aaron, saying, "Ba'aretzem lo sinchol v'chelek lo yilecha b'seichem," that you shall not have an inheritance or a portion, apparently referring to the same two ideas of the spoils of war and the land. And this applies to the Kohanim. So we might think that there is one prohibition for the tribe of Levi and another one for the Kohanim, who also, of course, stem from the tribe of Levi. The Rambam says, however, that in the book of Deuteronomy, as we have quoted, the verse says the entire tribe of Levi, which automatically includes all of the Kohanim. Therefore, it cannot be considered separate prohibitions for the Levi and the Kohen. A Kohen, then, who would take a portion in the land of Israel would have two prohibitions, one for being from the tribe of Levi and one for being a Kohen. This, the Rambam says, would be analogous to the prohibitions regarding a Kohen, that a priest is not allowed to marry three kinds of women, Zeina, Chalala, Ugrusha. So too, a Kohen Gadol is mentioned as having explicit prohibitions again against these three women, and in addition, a widowed woman. So, for example, if a Kohen Gadol would marry a divorced woman, he would have a prohibition for a high priest marrying a divorced woman, and also for a regular Kohen to marry a divorced woman. And we might think he would have two prohibitions. The Rambam says that this is impossible to say, since the Gemara in Kedushin says explicitly that it would be only one prohibition in such a case. We see that such prohibitions are considered to have been repeated. They are not counted as separate prohibitions. Rambam gives another example, that the law prohibiting the shaving of the head or cutting the flesh upon the death of a relative or shaving the beard, these three prohibitions are mentioned both by Kohanim and also by the whole Jewish people. Would a Kohen who shaves, for example, get two prohibitions, one for being a Kohen who shaves and one for being a Jew that shaves? Rambam says no. Again, it only counts as one commandment. If so, why are these commandments repeated?
The Rambam says that in all of these cases, there are two general reasons given. One is to stress the idea, that by repeating it, an extra stress and an extra strength is given to the prohibition. Another reason is for completeness, that some details might be conveyed in one part of the mitzvah as opposed to another expression of the mitzvah, and therefore it must be repeated in the other place. In his legal code, the Rambam mentions why the Levites did not get a portion in the spoils or in the land. And he says that the reason for this is that the Levites were separated from the normal people. They were separated to serve Hashem, to serve God, and to teach the proper paths, and to teach His laws to all of the Jewish people. And therefore God separates them from all of the worldly matters, and Hashem Himself becomes their portion. They do not need a portion in the land, because they have dedicated themselves to Hashem, then Hashem Himself is their portion. And the Rambam concludes that this applies not only to the tribe of Levi, but any Jewish individual who wishes to donate their life and dedicate themselves and separate themselves from the worldly ways to serve Hashem and to teach His ways. Such a person, Niskadish Kedish Kadoshim, he is sanctified with the Holy of Holies, with the highest degree of holiness, and then God becomes his portion forever. Positive Commandment 183 also relates to the Levites. This is regarding the Levitical cities, as described in the book of Numbers, the beginning of chapter 35, that even though the Levites have no inherited portion of the land of Israel, nevertheless certain cities shall be separated and given to them. The Chumash states that there should be six cities of refuge, which the Levites will be in charge of. And these cities of refuge were used as a haven for an unintentional murderer. In addition, another 42 cities should become an inheritance of the Levites. Therefore, altogether, they have 48 cities, all of which become cities of refuge in a way, although there are certain differences between them, as discussed in the tractate Makos. The verses in this chapter also explain the dimensions of the city. In addition to the city, there should be a migrash, a border around the city of open land of 1,000 cubits, 1,000 amas. In addition, another 2,000 cubits should be given around the city for fields that the Levites can use for growing crops, and also as a vineyard to grow their grapes, as explained in the tractate Sota. There is also a prohibition associated with these Levitical cities, Prohibition 228, as the Rambam brings from the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 34. The literal meaning of the verse, the Rambam says, in this case, has no relation to the actual mitzvah. The verse states, the open areas, the migrash, surrounding these cities of Levim, shall not be sold. However, in this case, the Rambam explains, the Gemara tells us, in Erechin, that sale does not mean literally sale over here. The prohibition here is against changing the land from its original purpose, and this prohibition applies to the Levi. As we mentioned, there were three portions which the Levi was given: the city, the surrounding land, and then a field for growth. The Rambam says that the Levi may not use the city as he would a field, or a field as the city. And the open fields, the sadeh, may not be exchanged for the inner field, or the inner field for the outer field. He must keep all of these fields, all of these portions, in their original usage and not change them as he wishes. Therefore, the words lo yimacher, do not sell, in this verse, really are translated lo yeshune, they should not be changed. The Chinuch explains that since these cities have been singled out to be given to the Levites, and therefore have a certain degree of sanctity, they must be preserved in the state that God intended them to remain in, since He Himself dictated which part of the city and which part of the outskirts should be used for which purpose. They should remain in that form and not be changed, since there is a holy wisdom which is guiding these particular boundaries. With this, we would complete Sefer Zeroyim, the book relating to agricultural laws, and begin those mitzvahs relating to Sefer Aveda, the laws relating to the temple. Positive commandment number 20 is the commandment to build the Beis HaMikdash, to build the sanctuary, which the Rambam says derives from the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse 8, which states, Ba'asu li mikdash, make for me a sanctuary, a dwelling place, a temple. The Rambam mentions several functions that must be served in the temple. The eternal light must burn the internal fire. It's the place where our prayers ascend to heaven. And it also is the place where the Jews make pilgrimage to for the three holidays. However, the first thing he mentions, and which is stressed in his legal code, is Abayis Muchon Lahakriv Bei Karbonis, that the temple is a place which must be prepared and ready to bring the sacrifices. And this the Rambam sees as the main function of the Beis HaMikdash. How do we know that the actual building of the temple is a commandment? The Rambam quotes the Sifri, which states there are three commandments which are incumbent upon us when we first entered the land of Israel: appointing a king, building the temple, and wiping out the descendants of Amalek. We see then the Sifri says that the mere building of the temple is also a positive commandment. There are many other things associated with the building of the temple. The Chumash gives all the details of building the menorah and the shulchan, the table, and all of the other vessels which were used in the temple. The Rambam, however, as he's explained in detail in his 12th principle of counting the commandments, that all of these different commandments are all part of the general commandment of building a temple. One must build a temple, and that includes all of the other vessels which are contained within it. This is in distinction with the view of Nachmanides, the Ramban, who counts all of the individual vessels and their building as a separate commandment. The Rambam has a lengthy discussion why the building of the altar is not considered to be a separate mitzvah. It would seem to indicate that, as it says in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verse 21, that you must build an altar of earth, which the Rambam says to refer to the times when other altars were allowed to be used even outside the place of the sanctuary. And the commandment was that a permanent and non-movable structure should be made to bring sacrifices. He then brings the Mechilta to Rabbi Yishmael, who declares that at the time that they entered the land of Israel, they must build a Mizbeach, an altar. This, that the building of the altar is tied in with the entrance to the land of Israel, shows that this is a permanent commandment for all generations, and is therefore part of the general commandment, a detail of building the Beis HaMikdash, and is not a separate commandment. The Rambam also brings the Mechilta, which quotes the verse, "If you shall make for me an altar of stone," and discusses that this is not merely a permissive view that one may build an altar, but rather it is an obligation, as he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, verse 6, that thou shalt build an altar of Hashem your God. This then is an obligatory commandment to build an altar, and is a part of the general commandment of building the temple, the Beis HaMikdash in general. The Rambam says that all of the details regarding the building and the form of the temple are contained in the tractate Midos, and all of the details regarding the construction of the various vessels, the menorah, and the table, and the golden altar, and where they are placed and so on, are contained in the Talmudic tractates Menachas and Yuma. Hasidic philosophy relates that the temple was a microcosm of the entire universe, both the physical world and the spiritual world as well. In addition, a person is considered to be a microcosm in a way of the temple. That just as regarding the temple, it says, Va'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'seicham, God says, make for me a sanctuary, and I will dwell within it. So too regarding a person, a Jew who makes himself a sanctuary and makes himself a place where God can dwell, God says, "V'shachanti b'seichem, I will dwell within you." And it says "b'seichem" in the plural form. Literally, I will dwell within them, b'seich kol echad ve'echad, inside every single Jew. That every Jew who chooses to sanctify himself and make himself a place where God can dwell, then God comes to that particular Jew and enclothes himself and reveals himself within that Jew and brings his godliness down to the level of that individual and sanctifies him and makes him a Beis HaMikdash. Just as the temple in general is a place of dwelling for God's holiness, and every Every synagogue and place of study is a place of dwelling for God. And a Jewish home is also a kind of Beis HaMikdash. So to an individual is a sanctuary and a place of dwelling for God's holy revelation. Thank you for calling the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvos, and please join us again tomorrow.